All right. What the heck is that squeaking noise? make it stop. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Husker Heat, our third episode. I'm here with Miley and the under-the-weather Jaden, who's going to try and tough it out with us tonight. She has promised not to bring vomit to this pod, and so we're just going to power ahead and hope for the best. Right, Jaden?
Absolutely. Yep.
Miley, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, just great.
And looks like also here is Paul Dalen, who's telling us, relax, everybody, I'm here, and it's going to be okay. oh, no, we've got more than one. It just feels that way. Thanks, Paul. But let's see what to talk about tonight. You know, a little bit happened since our last pod. We no longer have an athletic director. and we won't go into that. I think, you know, the tensions are still a little high. There's still a little blood on the floor there. The gals seem to power along without him. They had the last tournament weekend of the year, and they had their first undefeated weekend, and it wasn't easy. They began with Northern Colorado, trailed them going into the bottom of the seventh. Or did that go extra? When I went to look at the box score, that box score had been replaced by a picture of one of the players. So, but I believe that, let's see that who won that game on Friday night for him? Was that Felix?
I think.
What's that?
Felix, I think.
Okay, yeah, where they runner on first, two out, and then got a single, pushed him over to third, and then just got one up the middle and scored it. And thank goodness, because we didn't want to get beat twice in a row by Northern Colorado, who took us out on Tuesday night. We already talked about that game. And then Saturday night, this was one that was a very, very exciting ending that prevented what would just been an awful, awful defeat. North Dakota came into that game, I believe, 5-25. Five wins, 25 losses. And their strength of schedule was in the mid-200s somewhere. So they were playing about 200 ball, they're under 200 ball against a terrible schedule. And they scored 10 runs on us. And they held that lead most of the game. And then we came back, tied it up in the bottom of the seventh, went trucking along till the 10th, I believe. And freshman Sam Bland bopped one out over center field, two-run homer for the win. I'll tell you one thing. One thing about Sam Bland is she's a freshman, and she just seems to play with so much excitement. That's a picture of her hitting her first homer of the year. And, like, the only person who looked that happy on the field was when she came around third. Rhonda Revelle was grinning ear to ear and jumping up and down and gave her a fist bump as she went by. So, with Sam Bland got to save the Huskers from, like, possibly one of their worst defeats ever type of game. I know that, you know, you can say everybody has their night in softball. Any team can get hot with the bats. I think that team only had one player hitting over 300. And had like a 198 batting average as a team. So now that, and their pitching staff had a horrible ERA. So I had a feeling we'd get the runs, but I was just hoping they wouldn't come so late. What did you guys think about that one? Anybody jump in?
Yeah, I was watching it like on Big Ten Plus, and I was just like, they went out, I think, what was it, 4 in the first or something like that? And I was just like, okay, like, that's crazy. And then we almost matched it, but that was 7-7 in just the first, or however much it was. I don't know. I was like, this is, like, a lot of scoring in a softball game, especially with, like, yeah, it being Northern Colorado or whoever it was. And I was just like, I hope that we just find a way to win it, because I do not want to, I don't know, it was such a long game. And so, yeah, when Sammy hit that. And I just feel like there's one of, like, she's one of the people that are just so deserving to, like, because she plays, like, with her heart on her sleeve and just all that stuff. So I just thought it was really cool that, like, especially a freshman, like, because you would expect a Brooke Andrews or a Billy Andrews or a Sydney Gray to be the one to do it. And for a freshman to do it, I just thought it was really cool. So
I agreed.
And the game sounds too close for comfort after hearing those stats. I mean, yeah. We should have beat the pants off of them.
Yeah.
I was able to watch the game, but geez.
Right. Okay, well then, so then what we were looking for going into Saturday, I believe I said in the article, I said, what you need is just for them to put it all together. We want a strong start. The starters got run in the first two games, and then we want, you know, the bats to come alive, and we just want to play a good, consistent game in all areas. And what better team to do it to than our good friends, the Creighton Blue Jays. They come out, whip them 9-0. Caitlin Olinsky, who we're going to talk about a little bit more here in a moment, throws 5 shutout innings and mercy rule. Sorry, Jays. And the bats ring 9 runs up, and
you don't need to say sorry to Creighton.
I did. I'm sorry. Did I not say hashtag sarcasm? Because I sure thought I implied it.
Okay.
Well, and I like the attitude that day. As people who've seen me on John's show know, I'm a bit of a Georgia fan as well. And Georgia's with Nebraska has the black shirts. And Georgia just has these little gray T-shirts that have a capital GATA on them. And those were given to them by their old legendary defensive coordinator, Irk Russell. And he's just as kooky as his name sounds. He liked to bash his head into headbutt the players wearing the helmets when they came off the field after big plays, because he'd get so excited. And it wasn't unusual to see Irk standing on the sideline, arms crossed, serious look on his face. And just blood kind of pouring down from his forehead, down his nose, and he didn't even know it was going. Well, he got him the GATA shirts, and Irk really didn't mess around. That stood for get after their asses. And that's what Nebraska did on Saturday, and for the most part on Sunday. Gave up a few runs, but followed up the Creighton win with a 12-4 win over Northern Colorado. Finally just took it to them from the get-go. Helped, gave up a couple runs, but really when you're scoring 12 runs, that then it's not so bad when you give up 4.
They mercy ruled them too.
Yeah, they mercy ruled them too, and that was fantastic. Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the weekend. Awards first. Let's talk. You guys jump in. Billie Andrews, Player of the Week again. Second time for her this year. Fourth time the Huskers. Her and Sydney have won 4 of the 7 Big Ten Player of the Weeks. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, Billie Andrews had a really good weekend, but also her sister had a really good game on Sunday. I think she got on base every time she was up to bat. So, I mean, both sisters had great weekends.
Right. I think it's come to be expected. I think Billie has so many expectations, obviously not just from herself, but I think as a fan base, you hear Billie and you're like, okay, yeah, she's supposed to be, up there. And I think last year, either early on or kind of towards the end, she kind of had a very underwhelming performance, but it feels like she has kind of just stepped it up a whole nother notch. And then that Brooke is playing out of her mind lately. So I think it's really nice to have both of them be just having a great, great season so far.
Brooke's running around like Willie Mays in the outfield right now.
I think that's more impressive to me than just her hitting. It's just she's everywhere on the outfield.
Right. Yeah. She's diving for balls. She's jumping up, stealing home runs. She's gunning people at the plate. It's a lot of fun to see. Let's see. Well, here's one thing. A few things going into this UNO game tomorrow is now you got, obviously Billy's, tied for the career lead in homers now, 54. Now, here's the thing. She is one of only 15 players nationally averaging 1 hit, 1 run, and 1 RBI per game this season. Brooke Andrews went 5-for-5 against Northern Colorado. That's the first 5-hit game for a Husker in 18 years.
Oh, wow.
That's the first one since 2006. And then Caitlin Olinsky through the first shutout by a Husker pitcher since 2019. Now, one bad thing about that, though, is that's our first shutout in 5 years. Was it UNO brings in a 5-game winning streak, or Nebraska brings in a 5-game winning streak. Omaha, UNO's won 10 consecutive games, And that's tied for the five-game winning streak of ours is tied for Penn State with the longest winning streak among Big Ten teams. And Omaha's 10-game winning streak is tops in their conference, the Summit Conference. And let's see, where – and I believe UNO, if I read this right, I believe they have thrown a bunch of shutouts this year. Let's see. Linsky. Sorry, you're giving me just a moment. Okay, here we go. Scouting Omaha. Let's see. They've won 10 straight games, which I said. They're 11-1 this month. They've outscored during the 10-game winning streak, they've outscored their opponents 52-13 with five shutouts. So we've had one shutout since 2019. They've had five shutouts, like basically in the last 10 games. So yeah, that'll humble you in a hurry. One other thing, now their starters on Friday and Saturday, we won't call them out by name, but two more rough starts for the starters. Now, here, Caitlin Olinsky is basically, I think, with this last weekend, separated herself from the pack. We've been waiting for somebody to step up and be that number one starter. And sorry if I jinxed you, but she's done that right now. She came in, I believe it's to the Northern Colorado game after whoever got knocked out after two innings, and threw seven straight innings. Or was that – maybe that was North Dakota. That was because that had to go 10 innings. But, yeah, threw seven straight innings. Then they brought in Kenny in the 10th, and Sammy did her thing. But so seven scoreless there, then comes back to throw five scoreless and a shutout of Creighton. She's lowered her ERA to about, I think, 3.330 something, which is over a run lower than anybody else on the team now. So that's, you'd like to see them all do it, but it's nice to see somebody break through. Now, when we were maybe questioning Rhonda, pitching her again and again after she got roughed up really good in her first two outings in Mexico, well, now you're just seeing what the coach has seen. Right. And so she knew it would come around, and this is why you're patient with young pitchers and don't throw them to the curb early. She's looking really good right now. Let's see what else here. Oh, the Husker bats in general. You know, we're having pitching troubles. What did they score? 6, 11, 9, and 12. I believe it was at 38 total. So they were averaging almost 10 runs a game this weekend. In a lot of cases, your pitching has to be pretty bad for you to average 10 runs a game and not sweep those four games in softball. It's not typically a high scoring sport. Let's see. I actually got some notes. Another shout out to Matt Smith. He's an associate communications director down at University of Nebraska. He's the one that sends us our stats and pictures and recaps, just updates and just a lot of neat numbers. So, Matt Smith, shout out to you. So just for Matt Smith, I feel let's share some of his hard work. Going into this weekend with the Mavs, let's see. Though there's one thing, Caitlin Caneda has kind of gotten out of her slump. She hit 366 last season, and she had an incredible freshman season, and then got out of the gate really slow, was hitting like as low as 066. She's fired up again. We're going to talk about the special role she's playing at the end of the show. And we say here, when we do our thing about here's stuff that's a little different about softball and moving, and we'll explain why Rhonda has moved one of her players getting hot to the bottom of the order. Okay. You talked about Brooke Andrews. Here's some stuff on them. The Andrews sisters have hit first and second the batting order for the past 12 games. During the last 12 games, when Billy's let off and Brooke has hit second, Nebraska is averaging 7.2 runs per game. In the first 16 games of the season, they averaged 4.7 per game. I feel like those aren't just two random stats colliding. What do you think? What do you think of those two?
I think they sort of just feed off of each other. I mean, they're sisters, so they sort of it makes it easier to work together.
Yeah. And you might have a little friendly competition too, and mm-hmm. things like that. And they said over the last 12 games, they've hit a combined 410 while combining to average 2.8 hits per game, 2.7 runs per game, and two RBIs per game. Safe to say, I don't think they're going to be, you know, Rhonda likes to shake her lineup a little. Safe to say she's not going to be messing with that for a while.
Yeah. Or at least she shouldn't.
No, 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 no. here we go. Here, Caitlin Alinsky last week pitched in four of Nebraska's six games and went 1-0 with a 1.98 ERA and a team high 17.2 innings. So even the innings are showing that she's kind of stepping to the top of the heap. Yeah, they said, and they played 14 games in February, and she just threw 13.2 innings total in February. Have played 14 in March, and she's thrown 32 innings and posted a 3.06 ERA, which is over a full run lower than her ERA in February. So that you're seeing the improvement there. Let's see. Before we start looking to the future a little, I don't know how many of you remember angry North Iowa guy from last week. Well, as it turns out, angry North Iowa guy wasn't that angry. Sounds like he had a good time with it. He wrote an even longer reply this week. Now one thing you have to point this out because it's funny. He was like, hey, take a look at our hitter. I forget her name. I didn't write it down, but hey, she's got more home runs than Billy Andrews. It's like, and she did until they played four more games after he wrote his response and Billy Andrews hit four more homers. She now has the homer lead on the North Iowa leader, 11-9.
She knew he wrote that.
This will be probably our last, you know, at this time, we've probably got to leave North Iowa and their stats behind. You know, we're just not going to be diving into North Iowa every week. I sincerely apologize. He did ask me for a favor, which I'm going to grant. He wanted to point out that Saturday's game against Illinois will be Military Appreciation Day, and to give that a shout out. So everybody, Military Appreciation Day Saturday, go down and watch it if you can. If the Huskers, sorry, now I'm not going to go win the Huskers because then they'll sure as shit lose. But if the Huskers win their Friday night game against Texas A&M, the men and the women for that matter, they wouldn't play again till Sunday. So your Saturday should be freed up for some Husker softball. And then we will say goodbye to not angry anymore North Iowa guy. As he pointed out, one thing that North Iowa and the university have in common, our hatred of Iowa. We can't stand Iowa, and we will always have each other for that, angry North Iowa guy. Well, not so angry anymore. So best of luck to North Iowa for the rest of the season. Sincerely, hopefully see you guys in the tournament at the end of the year. And Iowa, you know, as DX always said, suck it. Okay, moving on from North Iowa.
Can you talk about how crazy it is that both the men's and women's basketball teams are playing Texas A&M right after Trev Alberts leaves?
Yeah, and the thing was, I was reading Tom Chattel's column, and I'm a big Tom Chattel fan. I've enjoyed his – here's a little shout-out for Tom Chattel. I've enjoyed his columns for years, and I actually got to meet him in Indianapolis this last summer at Big Ten Media Days and introduced myself, and he was nice enough to chat with me for a couple of minutes. And, you know, he seems genuine. He comes off in person like he does in his articles, where he seems like pretty warm, funny, intelligent guy. And that I felt like that's exactly the guy I was talking to. Now, where was I going with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It sucks getting old. I had a point there with Tom Chattel. Now I remember we were talking the tournament, the basketball tournament, and he says, well, they actually have a formula now, and they just go straight off that formula and fill the spots. And I went to the NCAA page, and it just sounds what they do is use a lot of different formulas, and they're still going out of their way to match up. They're trying to find their story matchups. Like
I saw that somewhere that they just do that. Like, yeah, like a story matchup, which that's so stupid.
Yeah, and my friend Chris the Trap, and I don't know if you were on yet, Jane. I was telling Miley that, you know, he's a friend of mine from my college days, and, you know, super funny, super sports knowledgeable guy, and he just likes to get right to the point. And he texted and said, you know, these stupid bastards are going to think people across the country give a shit that an athletic director changed jobs.
Yeah,
and, you know, we were doing some arguing about that amongst ourselves as well, and I'm still not convinced that moves anybody over. And the story that seems to be flying is the one that is Keisei Tominaga. And I think Pat McAfee and his pod, it was like, why did I not know who Keisei Tominaga is? This guy is incredible. And he showed an interview with him and then showed some of his shots. And he goes, I'm telling you what, we are all in on this guy. He goes in that first game, if he starts stepping back and letting fly from the NBA three-point line, and he's like, look at this, splash, splash. And he's like, he goes, the country is going to fall in love with this guy. And just nowhere else, I mentioned it earlier, like on the national socials, Twitter, et cetera, I'm not seeing like, hey, man, Nebraska, you know, non-Nebraska people and non-Texas A&M people, look at that athletic director move. And I think Casey is going to be the one who moves that needle, just because, you know, eight from Japan, has the nickname the Japanese Steph Curry, and just plays with such exuberance. And even standing there in an interview, you can just, like Matthew was saying, sense the charisma coming off of him and just that glow and that love of the game. So I think that's where we're going to be. Yep.
Which is why I'm looking at like low, like 1 for 9 from the 3-point line that game.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing about Casey. It's not an every night thing, most every night thing like Steph. Like, you know, he was not there against Illinois. You know, that's not that that's his fault, but yeah, it doesn't happen every night. So maybe that makes it more special is when he goes on a heat check and then there's him going and the crowd going and the team going, and he's the one guy we got to hope to get lucky and see him hot, you know, in those games. But all right, let's get back to softball for a minute. Here's some of the stuff going on with Billy being player of the week. Is she they had a 5-1 overall record for the week. She hit .455 with 1 double, 4 home runs, 10 runs scored. And in 6 games, 14 RBIs. 10 runs scored and 14 RBIs and 4 home runs in 6 games. And I think she was hitting about .475 or .480 going into that week. So by hitting .455, she dropped her average a little. But I noticed even the games where she was going 1 for 3, 1 for 4, there's a couple of walks in there, or she'd get hit. She is an on-base percentage absolute monster. And you know, they have the OBP, which is – or OBS, OPS – on-base percentage plus slugging. If you're doing that over 1,000, you're on fire. I think hers at the end of the weekend or maybe one game to go was 1,505, slugging over 1,000 and on base of like .545. It was insane. It is insane. And then let's see. Yeah, there's her average. We talked about that. 2 home runs last Tuesday in the 2 games. 2 more this weekend. I'm going to be doing that Omaha recap, the UNO recap, because I want to be writing that damn article when she sets the record. I am so excited for her. Jaden came down to the preseason press conference with me, and one thing I noticed about her is there she is sitting up there answering her questions, and I just asked, hey, are you looking forward to the Mexico trip? And she just starts beaming, just like grinning ear to ear, talking about how she's never been to Mexico, wants to get out. And I'm telling you, it's fantastic when you get that person in the locker room that just kind of has that smile that lights up the room. And, you know, it just tells everybody, hey, no matter what, everything's going to be okay. So I just from that moment, I got the feeling there's much more that she brings to that team than just swinging a bat and piling up records. Mm-hmm. What do you guys sense there?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Cause like, yeah, she was like, I mean, especially with Jordy, like Jordy was kind of like that too, but Jordy felt really business-esque. And then here you have Billy, who's like, kind of like, oh yeah, like the little preppy, you know, like whatever. And I think it's good to have like obviously different personalities, you know, someone who can be super serious, but like also have fun, but also like have like the very positive, just like always smiling type of thing in the locker. So I think having different personalities that bring different things to the table is always good for like locker room, like, you know, just, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like connection and stuff like that. So, but yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Miley, you played college hockey. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, mine really weren't with the college hockey team. My comments were going to be like with my high school team. We always had girls that were, they were all business on the ice, but when it came like being in the locker room and stuff, they were goofy. And it was nice to have that because I think it brought the team together very, very well. And we had a lot of success when we had those girls around. So,
right. All right. Let's talk about UNO a little. They're actually coming into this game ranked a little higher than us right now. They are 66th in the RPI rankings. That was a 21-7 record, and their strength of schedule is 138th. You know, not great, but it's on the upper half. since there's 307 Division I women's softball teams. I've got to just start saying softball teams. There's not a men's softball team. I don't call it the men's baseball team. Okay, it's the softball team. And then Nebraska hit with their sweep this weekend, bumped their record up to 16-12. They're 68th. Their strength of schedule is 37th. UNO actually comes in as like the slight favorite this weekend. I don't know. You can't really call it a huge home field advantage, one, because I think it's going to be windy in the 40s. So I don't think we're going to actually have a stadium full of screaming fans. Although I bet you'll probably get a few more out since it's UNO. If we remember, I think UNO went, UNO did go to the NCAA tournament last year and I think fought their way into an elimination game where if they'd won that one, they would have gone and played in the regional final. So this is a battle tested team and coming in actually playing a little better than us again, so how do we feel about in my case, my neighbor in town, but your neighbors to the northwest there?
I mean,
on Creighton version.
Yeah. I do like UNO way more than Creighton. So I think it's pretty exciting that they get a challenge, an in-state challenge like this. I mean, we expected Creighton to be sort of a challenge, but they weren't. So should be a really good game. Yeah. And also a shout out to UNO's men's hockey team. The NCHC Frozen Four for the first time. So
go team.
Yeah.
And then let's see, now we open up Big Ten play this weekend against Illinois. I'll have the deeper dive on them in the weekly preview, which should be out Thursday morning or Thursday. What's that?
I promise I won't make any jokes about not knowing that Illinois had a team. I made a joke when I was writing a recap for volleyball. I didn't know Illinois had a volleyball team and someone came at me in the comments, but it was just a joke.
Yeah.
I promise I won't make that joke this time.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. The folks that want to come in and play, I'm always all for it, but it's like, don't get angry when we're not loving your team on a Nebraska.
Exactly. You're on a Nebraska site. Like I'm going to make jokes about the opposing team.
Right. So Illinois, this is one I can't really figure out. I'm sure they've got their reasons. Illinois comes in with an 11-13 record. And their RPI ranking is 51st, 17 spots ahead of us with a 16-12 ranking. Okay, well, maybe I looked for their schedule in like the top 20 or so. They must have a tough strength of schedule. Their strength of schedule is 69th, and ours is 37th. And we have a winning record, and they have a losing record. And that just makes me, want to – can you send RPI, can you send me a copy of the formula? Because now I don't trust anything else. But it'll be good to get Big Ten play going. The tournament stuff is over, the tournament invitationals, whatever you want to call them, where you play a bunch of games, but it's not an actual tournament. Now the game, and not to say the games don't matter. They're real games. They count as your regular season games. It's just basically a way of compartmentalizing the non-conference games and just getting them all done with different teams in one place. So I actually do like the idea, but
It feels like they don't play a lot of conference games. Is it sort of half and half?
No, they'll play everybody in the conference like three games pretty much. So I don't know if it'll be as many as the non-conference, but I think it's pretty even. I'd have to go count that. We'll count that up and figure that out for next week.
Does every Big Ten school not have a softball team then?
There might be one or two without, but I think most of
looking at the schedule, I didn't see like every Big Ten team, but
yeah, there's probably a couple without teams, but let's see, what was I going to say? Big Ten play. Yeah. This is where it really starts counting because this is where you are playing for your position in the playoffs and the top four teams, it's like basketball. It's not necessarily a double bye, maybe for the bottom teams. But you definitely get to sit around for a day while everybody else plays and has to use their best pitcher already because they're trying to advance. So it matters. The first time I went up there, well, the only time, that was like I think they played Ohio State had to go win a game first, and then so they got to come in fresh and win a tight game against Ohio State. That was one where I think Liv came in and bopped a double over the right fielder was cheating in on her, and she bopped a double overhead to kind of open the game up. So that was nice. But so our first is Illinois. And so I would say right now, until I really dig in here in a day or two or in a day, I don't know that much about Illinois yet. And I know even less when I see that record in that ranking. So the ranking says it should be, you know, a tough matchup. It should be a tougher matchup than last week. And that was four teams that were all, who all had strength of, or three teams who had strength of schedules in the 200s. And the Huskers, whose was 37th. So you hate to say you expect a sweep, but man, it would have been disappointing. Okay, so that's where we are right now. I think I've covered most everything. Oh, here's what I wanted to do. Okay, I mentioned Caitlin. Now, is it Kaneda or Kaneda? Because I heard an announcer calling her Kaneda, but I thought it was Kaneda.
I think it's Kaneda.
Okay. Sure. I'll see if I can find out for sure, because
that's what I've been saying anyway.
Yeah,
they have like a thing on the roster where you can press like the like button to have it then pronounce it for you. They do that on some rosters. I don't know if they have it on ours.
Well, here we go. I'm just going to read what's going on and why she's down to the bottom of the order now. And I would like to know what if anybody's out there and is a math whiz, here's their thinking on it. Let's see. What Rhonda Revelle said she wanted was a number nine hitter who could actually act as sort of a second leadoff hitter. So in the innings she's leading off, she's putting more likely to put somebody on bases for Billy at the top of the lineup. Now, what you'd have to do mathematically is go, is that paying off in such a way that it's worth the at-bats you take away from her? If she's, say, batting fifth or sixth, then you're going to get over the season X number fewer at-bats. But I like the thinking on it. So anyway, she found her way to the plate when, like last year, she hit 366, and that was the third highest batting average by a freshman in Nebraska softball history. And then she went 6-for-12 over the weekend, hit 500 for the weekend, and had a 600 on base percentage. So as she got hot with the bat, Rhonda Revelle chose to move Kaneda down in the order, the number nine spot, in hopes that Kaneda would get on base in front of Billy Andrews. She batted ninth in Nebraska's final two games last weekend. In those two games, Nebraska scored 21 runs and only 10 turns at the bat because of the mercy rules. So it appears to be working very well. Kaneda went 4-for-4 with two walks in her two games batting ninth, reaching base in all six of her plate appearances. She scored 5 runs in the two games after scoring only 4 times in her first 25 games. And by getting on base, she helped Billy drive 7 runs in the two games as she hit 9. Andrews drove Kaneda in 4 times.
I was going to say, I noticed when she did it, because I was like, oh, it's weirded me out for a second that she was down there. But because she has started to pick up her batting like average and stuff, like she's kind of starting to get on the ball now, I am not mad about it, because either she's hitting it or she's getting walked. And so she's, like you said, on base for Billy and then, you know, Brooke Andrews after that. So I think it's a good move if she continues, you know, to be able to get on base. And also, like you saying, mathematically, like if she's hitting when Brooke is able to, or Billy is able to come in like right after.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing I read Moneyball, seen the movie. I like reading Moneyball type articles about, you know, here's what we're doing, you know, with whatever our formula says. And that, I like that outside the box thinking. And the thing is, you have to be careful with that in case she goes cold again. I like to think that she's hit her stride and she's not going to go 4-for-4 with two walks and get an on base of 1,000, you know, the rest right. of the season. But I feel like now she's in a zone where fitting 366 is possible again.
Yeah.
All right, let's. I'm going to go with a couple more comments before we go. Let's see. Now here's a guy. Here's Paul again, who started off with us, and he had said, "My boss is an ATM booster of the pseudo substance. There has been smack talk." Then we're talking about Trevigan. One thing is, though, it's just between Texas A&M and Nebraska. I made the argument that somebody down in Florida, because here's the thing, that game is going to be being played on a day where there's 15 other games being played, and you're going to have 4 of them going in 4 different regions or whatever. The guy in Florida, I think, will not give 2-10 shits about the Nebraska-Texas A&M game because Trev Alberts moved from Nebraska to Texas A&M. I made the comparison. I just tried to say Pat Hayden, I think, you know, former – Heisman winner at Southern Cal. I know Southern Cal, I believe Heisman winner. He ended up as their athletic director. And my thinking was, if I'm sitting in Nebraska, knowing well who he is, I just don't believe that if Pat Hayden was athletic directing a team, a football team that had just had two losing seasons, and then Oklahoma stole him and over there, and then USC played Oklahoma, you know, here a couple of the, you know, schools known, you know, much more for being football schools than basketball schools, like Nebraska and Texas A&M. I'm thinking me and Nebraska is not really going to take any notice of that game because a former player athletic director who may have been popular there. I don't think Pat was that popular at the end of his athletic director tenure, but I just don't think that person's going to be that excited about it. And I feel the same way about the guy in Florida when those two games are played. Here's a guy calling a lot of basketball talk here. Everybody's ready to go. Here's Colin Grimes says, I got my basketball tickets, flights, hotel books, see y'all in Memphis. And oh, hey, the guy that I have been calling Angry North Iowa guy, he brings something up that I really hadn't wanted to bring up, because I don't have really the hatred for Trev on this one. I wish he would have stayed. I think I kind of understand why he went, but yeah, he's actually from Iowa. He graduated from the hometown of Northern Iowa, Cedar Falls, Iowa. He did. And thanks. Oh, you're welcome for the military shout out. But yeah, Trev was an Iowa guy, and he was like fully ready to go to Iowa. And one of his articles, he talked about how that happened, said he got talked into taking a visit to Nebraska and just knew right then that's where he was going to play football. It was just a matter of telling dad, who was like, no, that's your thing. And then I am doubting this is the real Dylan Raiola, but Dylan Raiola for Heisman says, we're going to the Final Four, guys. Mm-hmm. never lose that optimism, man. And Highlander Gun at 8:30.
That's what my chiropractor told me.
What's that?
That's what my chiropractor told me.
Going to the Final Four?
No, never lose that optimism.
Never lose that optimism. Let's see. And then Highlander Gun, who was here last week, 7:37. I'm late, but I made it. Well, guess what? I always say, like, you know, I want to start winding it down at about the half hour mark, and we're about the 38 minute mark. I don't mind going between 30 and 40 minutes. So Highlander, glad you made it, and glad we could at least give you a full half hour. What's that?
Nothing.
Were you making a crack? Were you sassing me? Feels like you're sassing me.
Yep.
Was it about my talking?
Yep.
You do realize what the point of this damn thing is, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Talk.
But I've known you for 24 years, so I know you talk a lot.
Yeah, well, you know what? People who've known me for like 20 minutes know I talk a lot. So I feel like this is a good outlet for me, so I'm not just, you know.
Talking maybe, people's ears off?
Maybe I blow a little steam off and don't talk people's ear off as much in the world.
Maybe that's good then.
Yeah, hey, you want to hear a totally me talking but non-sports thing? So last night I go to have an adult beverage at Tiger Tom's, my home away from home.
It's Cheers Bar.
One of my good friends, Becky, had her dog there. And it looked like a big golden, but I think she said it was a Pyrenees. And this thing had to just be a giant puppy because all it wanted to do was play and get petted. And it's just, and then I got down and crawled around like in Bart and like growling and woofing at the dog. That dog just like, and Bart like just barking and like going, you know, at the pupper. And this big old thing just like backs up and then starts rolling around and going crazy. And Becky was just cracking up. And then I'd take a couple steps toward it and the thing would be like, and it was just doing the funniest growling and barking and rolling. And then, come here, boy. What's that?
People probably thought a crackhead entered the bar.
Yeah. Well, I was outside.
Speaking of dogs.
What's the name?
Balto.
Balto. Oh, perfect.
Yes.
Balto wasn't the one that did that, though. What was the dog that actually made like several hundred miles of that run? They finally made a movie about it.
Yeah, Balto.
It was the cartoon.
Movie, gotcha. Oh, yeah. It was the movie.
It was with Willem Dafoe. I'll find out for next week. It's a lot of fun. All right. I ran my mouth. Here's your guys' turn. What are your thoughts on anything before we say goodnight?
Go Huskers.
Yeah.
All right, Miley first.
I'm just glad that we got those four wins, the home wins, because I think that'll definitely carry some momentum coming up to especially a good UNO team who I think always plays us pretty well. And then, yeah, getting back into Big Ten play is going to be really important for us. So,
yeah, hopefully those wins will give them a nice boost of confidence because I think they sort of need it after, I don't know, maybe a couple disappointing losses here or there. Or, I mean, after their first home weekend where they just went 0-4, so.
So bad.
Oh, yeah.
It was probably a nice boost of confidence after that weekend.
I thought you were talking about the first weekend, and I had this all set to go. I'll move this out of the way. But I'm sure we'll have a chance to flash that out later. Let's see. I wanted to show one thing. I have a friend named Mark, and one thing with Mark is real fun guy to hang around, but you really want to be aware of what he's up to. So, you know, this I think was sometime last fall where, hey, Andy, look here. And I stupidly looked there, and next thing I find is, you know, that thing being texted to me where, hey, he found an app where he can stick a cat on your head. Or
it's called Snapchat.
Yeah, I know.
You know what Snapchat is. You have it.
I know. And then, yeah, so anyway, we'll be back next Tuesday. This week should have, like I said, should have Thursday by someday around midday Thursday, give or take. I'll have the weekend preview out and ready. And then what's our schedule for the weekend? Does anybody have it up in front of them?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, yeah, I know what the days are, Jackhammer. Well,
that's the games.
I know, but
Friday,
let's see.
Friday at 5, Saturday at 1, and Sunday at noon.
Awesome. That's what I meant. Not
they're
just
in my calendar.
Yeah, not just tell me the days.
She's okay. Ready.
Okay.
You asked.
I did ask. You just gave me half an answer.
You didn't ask for the full answer.
I just want to go to my happy place again now.
Take that picture of you off the screen.
Hey, look, there's a Coronation shirt. You can buy those at the, Coronation website. We'll get that. John will yell at me if I do that and don't
Why
have that.
Why didn't you give me one for my birthday?
I got you enough. yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go look at the amount of your student loan.
I'm paying those.
Yeah. You'd be paying a lot more if it wasn't for me. So shut up.
No, and your parents, too.
And them. Here's the funny thing about that picture. That was when I decided to take off work early to go see the Day by Day Part 2, the Husker movie. It was in at Majestic. And walked in for the second time in my life to a theater in which I was the lone participant in the movie viewing process. So I just, like, here's me.
Selfie.
Yeah, here's me with absolutely nobody behind me and a big old bowl of popcorn. I think that's about it for tonight. What's that?
That's not good for your diabetes, I bet.
I work out a lot more now. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy the basketball, both of them. Let's just, you know, I'm not really like take it to Texas A&M for Trev. It's like, you know, he's going to be cheering for Amy Williams and Matt Rhule. They still both love the guy. Let's just go beat Texas A&M because they're a bunch of knobheads, and then go see what happens on Sunday. But let's get that first win before we start on Twitter, on Facebook, Insta, wherever. Don't start laying out Nebraska's path to the Sweet 16 and the Final 8 when we've never won a single goddamn game in the history of the school in the NCAA tournament. Just 1-0. That's all I want to think about. 1-0. Was there something else? Oh, yeah. And anyway, you know, be safe when you're watching the games this weekend, no matter where you are, what you're doing. And remember, as always.
All right.
And that's all I've got for tonight. Any closing words? Some Go Big Reds?
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Damn Red. See you, Texas A&M. And everybody else, that we went a little longer than I wanted, but I feel like, just because of not just softball, but the basketball and the AD and all of that, that maybe a few more minutes was warranted. we'll cut it a little closer next week, and we'll see everybody back here next week. Remember, jump in the comments. Whoop, wait, got three more thing. Oh, there we go, cobbycorn.com. If you want to get the cobby gear, cobbycorn.com. There's a lot of fun stuff there.
Didn't even know the website. What the hell?
Yeah, cobbycorn.com.
I said you didn't know the website until someone told you what it was.
Right. That's what I said. I couldn't remember what it was. And I said I'd get it for us next week.
It's the old age.
You need to pay attention.
Old brain.
Love Balto. Just beat the fighting Trevs. All right. That's it for tonight. I've had enough of you two. Get off my back. Get out of my yard, you young punk.
Okay, old man.
All right. See everybody later. See you next week.